So we'll just get this thing going. So we want to welcome everybody to this episode of the Nerd Brand Podcast. We have with us Greg Heiler from, and I hope I said that right.
Perfectly.
From Jolly SEO, a content writing agency with a focus in a journalist outreach based in California. You're really far away from us.
Mm-hmm. What part of California, Greg? I forgot to ask.
Outside San Francisco.
Oh, okay. Awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, but actually, I was born not too far from you guys, Southern Indiana.
Yeah. Well, okay. Well, we'll have to like explore that here in just a second on how you go from there all the way to there. For our listeners, Greg has experience not only in content writing, but also in coaching content writing through a one-hour course on how to build SEO, backlinks, and PR awareness and authority. Located at GregHeiler.com, we'll spell it Greg, HEILERS.com. So if you want to check that out, go to that address. We'll put some links in the descriptions below. If you're on YouTube, if you're on audio, rewind it and play it again. So Greg, tell us how did you go from Indiana to San Francisco? Like, how does that happen?
Oh, it was pretty circuitous. Childhood already took me from Indiana to California, but this specifically and my content writing as well, through marriage. I married someone from China, leveraged English as a skill, got into writing. We came back to the U.S. and we're in the Bay Area now, and I happen to do writing as my work.
My business partner's wife is Chinese, so I told him, you know, like, careful now. She's gonna make you move. I just tease you. That's interesting. I had one friend, he was from there. He lived here for a while. So he kind of did the reverse. And then he boomeranged back to San Francisco after he got married. But he got married in Austin. So I don't know. It's like that triangle, you know? So I want to start off with a question and then kind of let Michaela kind of pick up the answer, or if you know it. We love our acronyms in marketing, don't we? And we got some new ones for the listeners out of here. So does anybody want to take, what is a QRG or EAT as well as the other acronym, EAT with two E's? Who wants to answer that?
I'll let our guest do it if you know, Greg.
Sure. EAT is my specialty, and I'll admit QRG, I haven't read this. This is over 100 pages, this doc, right? So
yeah,
if anyone listening isn't intimately familiar, I'm guilty a little bit there as well. So quality rater guidelines, and this is more than 10,000 people Google has working from this guide, and this is how to rate on-site content, right? So things like, is this useful to the reader, harmful to the reader, these kind of things. And EAT is my specialty. This is experience, expertise, authority, and trust. And these are signals that Google's looking at to determine if this content is something that viewers, I guess, should be consuming. Do you have experience using or doing what you're talking about? How deep is your expertise, in general, your authority, and are you trustworthy or not, right?
Right, right. I remember when it had one E.
Yes. It made more sense.
I know. I saw that it had a second E on it when we were putting this together, and I was like, oh, okay. EAT, and it's like ET.
So what is like the differentiator between, because I don't know, I think of experience and expertise and I use the word kind of interchangeably. Is there like a definitive divider between the two?
Yeah, that tripped me up for quite a while, and I would say it in reverse, so I'm right there with you. From my understanding, we're talking about, I can have experience doing any number of things, and expertise is the depth of my knowledge in something. So some examples are like product reviews. Like, do you have experience in terms of, have you ever even used the product? Because this is something I don't know about in your world, but in our world, we work with journalists. They're asking for like a top 10 pool accessories. Let's say we're in the middle of summer right now recording this, right? Mm-hmm. And you'll get people plugging items that they've never actually used, right? But they're paid to plug them or that sort of thing. So in that sense, the new E makes sense to me because you want someone who's actually used the thing they're talking about. We have clients who are in business, so not necessarily consumer stuff they're reviewing, but business software. And you hope you're talking from a place of at least having used the software. And I think these kind of things, if it helps the listener, maybe I'm shooting myself in the foot. I'm actually not super technical, but I think a lot of what Google does is almost like we three, if we were just socializing, you know, you'd kind of want to verify like, oh, have you actually used that? Like what you're talking about?
Yeah.
Kind of reflects that.
Yeah, no, that doesn't require, that's the thing that I'm kind of glad is changing because I think SEO or even like in our world with branding and advertising on the technical side, they're fascinated with the digital this and digital that. And every time I hear the word digital now, I almost want to have my eyes roll because I'm like, you cannot do that only. The brands that we work with, I mean, there's three brands that are involved with, three that are all in the food and hospitality. And, you know, I will go and get ice cream. Not that you see me having my arm twisted. And then there's pizza. And then there's like pretty much, you know, like with Dave and Buster's, it's like kind of like quality bar food, you know, I guess the way to describe it. And so you don't see me like, oh man, I have to go test out my customer's stuff. You know, I'm not like that, but it kind of lends to what you're saying. Like I would feel a little bit hypocritical as an agency to tell people you should go do this. And in the back of my mind, I'm like, oof, man, that could use more salt.
Wait, am I picking up here that Dave and Buster's is a client?
Yes.
Oh man, I got to switch jobs. My kid just like loves that place. Oh, I swear really? That arcade, you can spend like a dollar a minute. I've clocked it. I'm pretty sure. Usually set a timer. I'm like, we got to get out of here.
next week on, as of this recording on Wednesday, July 19th, we're doing a live audience podcast show there. They got private event spaces and we've already started launching the tickets. I think four are already gone. We kind of reserved to 50. The room size is like 150, but you shut the doors and it's silent and it's got audio video hookups. And so they're always more than games. And that's the thing. In our part of the country, it's a bit of a different animal and audience than what you would find out west for that. So I could imagine writing content for them and doing marketing out west would be probably more around that if that's where most of the money's coming from. You know, that's what you would focus on is the arcade. But because, I mean, even people over here focus on games. Now, I wouldn't know how to write about it. I don't play video games. That would be the one thing that as we're talking about this, like going and playing video games, I couldn't. Our creative director could, Michaela, I couldn't. I'm not a video game person. But, you know. I think that you're right that Google wants that experience. It wants to know that you've actually done it. They could pick that up. So, but yeah, thank you for patroning one of our clients, but we just have the Louisville location at the moment that we're working with.
My pleasure. I'm paying my dues here. Get on the nerd brand. Yeah, no, it's genuine pleasure though. Love that place. Yeah. And you know, expertise just makes sense too, right? We in our space, talking to media, we're sometimes talking about health, financial topics, and it's one thing to say your opinion, and another when we're talking about health topics that people are reading in big publications, and they're genuinely consuming this content to inform their decisions about their health. So when a journalist says I need a certification or a credential, it makes sense to me. That's what is expected of them. And to me, Google, with these various acronyms, you know, they're just kind of enshrining those expectations. And that should influence how things are ranked, at least in my worldview. It kind of makes sense.
Yeah. You know, I find that I'm a web guy, been a front end WordPress developer since 2008. And so when I talk about web strategies, like what a website's for, I don't get into the code stuff because nobody knows acronyms in web. People just glass over. They're like, I heard CSS, that was it. And they're like, I understand. But when you're like, maybe in your profession too, when you're actually in front of a prospect, you find that because of the authority that you speak with, because you do it, helps you with being able to make that sale, to make that prospect feel comfortable to become a customer.
Yeah, I mean, certainly, and there's also the bias towards the owner, right? That's a real thing in sales for anyone who does sales. It's just kind of tough, but yes, absolutely. And I maybe overshare, so I shoot myself in the foot, because the flip is true as well, right? The second you say like, well, I don't know much about this, but it's yes, absolutely. And that makes sense. I get where you're going with that. And the final one's the T, right? So like, talk about a way to destroy trust or build trust, right? Is yeah, talking about things you don't know, or staying in your lane and talking about what you do.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause I mean, we've covered the expertise, our experience, expertise, authority, and trust in less than 5 minutes. But I think if you kind of step back and look at it as a whole thing, it's not siloed. It's just sort of like a journey through any process.
It kind of reminds me of the it's the HubSpot analogy, the spin wheel.
Oh, the flywheel. Yeah.
The flywheel. Yes. Sorry. I was like, there's a legitimate term for it, and I cannot remember. It's escaping my mind. Yeah. But it all churns, and it's all mechanical like that. It all just encapsulates into one.
Yeah.
And
I think
that's
like,
where my mind went.
Well, I was also thinking about, and this kind of plays into Greg, I think what you do being a writer is that it, you know, Joseph Campbell, the, you know, hero's journey, I think is what it's called, where, you know, you start out as like, it's like Luke Skywalker, you know, he started out in one place. He met the wise sage and then got schooled and became the master, you know, defeated the Darth Vader, like that whole spin and journey. Storytelling and writing in that way, Google actually likes that. There's ways to work in, eat into that. Because, you know, when you say like, I shoot myself in the foot, I think you're more trustworthy because you admit you don't know. But I think, wouldn't you think that there's value in the fact that you're willing to like admit that and then go get the answer? Like that person may trust you more because you actually put the effort in to find it.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I can appreciate what you're saying there. That, and actually, you two got me thinking. I don't know if the average listener knows this, but I would hope. There's a whole sector of the internet with fake personas that are the people. If you check out the about section, I mean, sometimes it's very easy to spot. Sometimes they're very well crafted. But to what we're talking about, it's hard to be an expert in something if you don't even exist. So like I mean, these are writers making 3 to 1 cent a word, right? They may be great writers, but they're not experts in the field, and they're writing as someone who doesn't exist, who's a proclaimed expert in something. And yeah, it's really tricky. And I don't want to knock other people's like livelihoods, but I can see why these guidelines exist, because it would be nice to be in a world where people can say like, this is what I know and that's it. I don't know about these other things, and not have whole fake populations exist who are experts in things mm-hmm. when they're just not, right?
Right. Yeah. I mean, as someone who works as an SEO company, like you know, seeing these recent changes to these things, how One of the questions we had is, like, if you want to share, how has it affected your clients?
Yeah, it has affected. So, I mean, you saw me be a little careful with what I said, because we have had clients with these fake personas even. And sometimes it's coming from a place of, like, hey, I own multiple websites. I don't really want to be a target. We work in SEO. There's something called negative SEO. Just probably like in any industry, sometimes competitors are pretty ruthless. And if they know who you are, they'll go after you. So in different ways, I don't necessarily mean like hire a hitman kind of way, but SEO hitman, not real life hitman. But it made them have to step up their game. So in some really positive ways, what they would do then is, I think the ethical thing is find a professional who wants to be the face of your brand and who will give their own input on these very technical topics. So that way it's the best of both worlds. You know, your brand continues to be elevated by Google, and the more people that find your content are listening to an actual expert weighing in, not your content writer who's paid a penny or two or three or maybe eight if they're doing good, you know. But they can still do the writing, and the expert weighs in. There's different ways to do it, but several of our clients over the past couple of years had to introduce us to someone and say, this is who I'm working with now to help elevate the quality of our content, which I think is a really positive thing for the end user.
Yeah. Are you surprised that, I mean, this is not one of the scripted questions, so be edited out if you want, but when you said journalist, I was like, you know, I think they make the best writers, like best copywriters. Do you find that true, or?
Wow, that's interesting. We have worked with several in our team, so I know what you're saying. I'm okay. So when you say copywriter, and I don't think we should edit out unless it just doesn't flow. But like for you, are you talking like web page copy? Yeah. Are you talking about articles?
Either one. Like if it's web page copy for brochure copy, then I think that maybe you want maybe more of a technical writer. But if you're actually trying to perform SEO and trying to capture attention, you know, the curiosity of what the brand
does, yeah,
that may be the type of writer you would want, somebody with a journalistic background.
I used to write a lot of long form. I never quite made it to journalist. I'd say like a quasi journalist or something, you know, like I never quite made it. The skill is really incredible, because like you said, their curiosity, they want to research, and there's all these maxims, but you know, the deal is it's harder to write shorter than it is to write longer. So, the real trick is like containing that curiosity and directing it into a single article. Sometimes you spin up multiple articles out of what was initially supposed to be one. Yeah, I know it. And that's why it's such a fun field. I mean, I was going to stop myself, but we're on a nerd brand podcast. It's really cool how you two lean into this. Like they're just nerds. Like they just love what they do. And like, if you love to read and listen and watch, it's a great field to be in. You get to learn about so much stuff. And it depends. You can go all in on one niche or two, or you can be a generalist and interview different people from different backgrounds. It's pretty fun.
Well, it's hilarious to me that, you know, when you get into this, I guess there's often this thing that when you do advertising, right, or any of the services that are under that umbrella, I still find it sometimes difficult to kind of help people. Like you go to movies, you interact with content all the time that was written. And, you know, right now there's a writer's strike. And as of yesterday, the actors also went on strike since the first time since 1960.
Wow.
So
I didn't know that.
Yeah, that happened yesterday. So you've got the Actors Guild on strike. The directors came to some sort of deal a while back. They got their own guild and union. But I was watching Kevin Smith talk one time. He went as a director, you know, he wanted to support Mark Bernardin on his show that he's been friends with for years doing Fat Man Beyond. And so he goes down to the picket line and he meets some very influential writers. but he didn't know who they were. Mark Bernard introduced them on a first name basis. So he walks away later. And then Mark, he was like, hey, who are those guys? Mark Bernard tells him the first and the last name. He's like, are you freaking kidding me? You know, there's this fandom that's built around that. We interact with these things all the time and we don't see those faces, you know. We don't realize like how much work goes into this in crafting all of these things. But even an ad is crafted as a story. It has to be in order for it to resonate and stick. And I'm saying all of that because I kind of want to transition into one of these other acronyms that we see. YMYL.
Yes.
Your money, your life. When I read that, I was like, what?
Yeah, it made me cackle whenever I read it. When I was reading the article, I was like, what? This is an actual legitimate acronym. Your money.
Well, it just sounds like a self-help book all in one. I could say.
Exactly. Right. It made me think of a Dave Ramsey book.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
But, you know, there's topics that are impacted by the Q. Every time I see this written QRG, I think ORG, like in web, you know, the web extension .org. Mm-hmm. It's what my brain is doing right now. It's like, no, that's not right. It's not a Q. But you think about agreeing that it says it's dubbing them as harmful. So, Michaela, you might have to expand on what this question means is trying to dig at.
Yeah.
It's number four on our list here.
Yeah. I just was curious since, because a lot of those topics, you know, kind of like what you were leading into, not a lot of credibility behind it. On some of those topics, it's more linked to that, those topics in that arena, and how they're impacted by the guidelines. And do you agree that dubbing them harmful is fair?
It can be. I mean, there's a lot of cases where I personally would, I guess that's how I should best answer it. What would I do myself knowing what I know? Yeah, I don't read those websites for financial advice, for health advice, for any of that stuff, because you have to understand the business mechanism behind it, right? So these are in the internet what we call affiliate marketing, right? So they're making money by linking out to other people's products, whether they're informational or physical, and so they're creating content to inform, but also to entertain and engage and build an audience. And they're making their money based on either impressions or clicks. Impressions means a screen loaded for a viewer, right? So anyway, that's a roundabout way of saying it can be, because if that is your motive and you're out there to make money, you can link up with companies that are paying you good money to promote something that may not be beneficial to the end user. So I think they can be done tastefully. I think there's plenty of room in the market to make money doing a quality job for people. It's like your sector, my sector. There's people out there who do service that sucks, that doesn't help, that actually is harmful, right? Does damage to, yeah. You know, we work in what's called link building. People are like, can't I just buy this thing for $50? And I'm like, you can. And then your website's going to suffer afterwards because it's harmful what that person's providing. And it sucks because we're $650. So like, they don't want to come to us, right? And I get that. But some of this content out there, the YMYL stuff, they're like hacky shortcuts. And in there might be some gems, right? Like some real stuff. Like you should save X percent of your income kind of wisdom. It makes sense. But some of it might be, you know, we all saw what happened with crypto and NFTs. There were very few people being real that I like this guru, Gary Vee, right? He's like, from the start, 98% of these NFT projects are going to go to zero. So like, if you don't know what you're doing, you should really stay out, because it's going to be a lot of work to find the 1-2% here that are long term. But there's not usually those kind of disclaimers in the YMYL space from what I've seen. It's usually raving about products and people.
Mm-hmm. I you know, I think the YMYL is something that, I don't know, did it predate the EAT? Did it? Or did it come later? I can't remember.
That's really fascinating. I almost want to say EAT is like a reaction to it, but I don't know that.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's like a chicken or the egg. Yeah. That's a good question. I should have looked that up.
Yeah. I think, well, you know, gives our listeners a little bit of homework if they're very curious about it, because SEO, it always comes up. And when it does, I know that they don't have good content. And so it's not really an SEO problem. It's a content problem. They don't really have anything. It's always asking us like, oh, you do. I hear people going like, I hired such and such to do website services and SEO. And I'm like, what does that mean? They built a website and then what? So, you know, I think that I liked, you know, when we contacted you, you were like, it's content. It kind of really does sort of reinforce how important the quality of that is. You come across a lot of people that, you know, are like that as well, where you are, because you guys, you're obviously in a completely different part of the country.
Yeah, well, we, like, what is SEO in terms of what people hear?
Coming across clients like we have that have a web, they get website.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's the full spectrum. Somebody who's, and this YMYL attracts a lot of first timers as well, right? So they'll come to us and we'll be like, we are not the right people to work with right now. Like, you don't need what we do. Cause we actually simplify it to like three. We have this little triangle slide on our sales decks, right? So we say it's content, it's your architecture, like the technical side of your site. And then it's offsite, and we do offsite. So we like do all the building the name for you off of your website, trying to build links back to you, right? So, but the people who come to us and they think that's what they need to do first, we're right there with you. We're like, we have a lot of work to do on your site first, before you should come to someone like us. And it, the kind of clients we can work with, the shorter answer would have been no. Like, they've already got that part down, because that's pretty foundational. But certainly we have calls with people routinely where we check out their site and we're like, let's spend like 10 minutes together and give you some recommendations, and like, you should go off. And the good news is a lot of the stuff you can DIY. And mm-hmm. I mean, certainly with resources, I know we were talking about YouTube pre-call here, but like, that is one platform where knowledge exists, right? So yeah, absolutely. There's a ton of work to be done on site first, and that includes content before you get into all the fancier stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. This one is speculative, because I know this is not in the notes, and I'm not going to put you on the spot or under a hot light at all.
I'm ready.
Well, you know, you're kind of our people. You're one of the nerds. And I mean, and I do want you to share, like, what is your nerd like as you want, and whether it's pop culture or professional, but we all know Threads has arrived, right? It's like Mark Zuckerberg said, hold my beer. And you know, it's done well. I mean, 100 million users in what, 5 days or something like that. And this is completely speculative, so no one listening should hold you or us to it. This is way too freaking new for anybody to know what's going to happen. One of our close friends, John Steven Stansel, he's on LinkedIn, and he was on Twitter for a long time. And I'm trying to get to planning a show with him to come on. He managed, the Amazon Prime show that was the animated series. He managed the Twitter account for that. So he's been in social media as an actual social media manager for many years. I want him to come on and say, like, I survived Twitter, and then tell his story. Do you think that Threads will replace Twitter? And if it does, how do you think it will actually do that successfully? And this is all speculation.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I don't know if Twitter's gonna disappear. So I think the context is important, because from I'm not a Twitterite, or however a Twitter denizen or whatever you would call them, right? So I are they called twits? That sounds terrible. But from what I gather, people's feeds are just kind of devolving into really base kind of stuff, not the really engaging stuff that I personally, even though I don't post, I read a lot, because there's some amazing knowledge that's shared on there. But that's my two cents at the moment. I know we immediately spun up an account as a company, and I still need to personally, because 100 million uptake in 5 days it's wild.
Yeah. John's advice was to just have fun at this moment, because we're all learning. But I kind of wanted to know your take on it, because I know that, when you look at Google, right, in the search engine, you've got the cards, or the what they call shelves. Some may say carousels, but you have the ribbons, or there's all kinds of language that describes in the search engine result page what these are. You've got your YouTube videos, you did have podcasts for a while, then they removed that, I don't know why. And then you've got Twitter. You've always had the Twitter cards that would be there, like latest on Twitter for news. I'm just thinking, do you think that'll ever happen where you've got that? There was a rumor about TikTok landing in there, and Instagram Reels, and we all know that Facebook and Google don't necessarily get along. So you think they'll ever just break down and be like, okay, we're just going to have to put that content in the search result page?
That would be fascinating. I think there's another piece to this, which is, we're all spread across a lot of different apps. Mm-hmm. I mentioned at the very start that I married into China, and they do have different apps, but there's a couple that dominate in terms of almost being like omnipurpose. They're your wallet for your day-to-day interactions. They're like, infamously during the pandemic, your health code tracker. They're how you talk with your family and friends. And they don't even really use, they do use Baidu to search, but that's maybe a non-answer to your question, but kind of, I had heard that it could be a potential future for Twitter is trying to go that route of being kind of an omni platform and integrating wallet and things like that. So as far as Google's play, I think they're, even though they're a behemoth, I think they're still reacting to what the competitors are doing, because it's all about market share of user attention, right? So Facebook coming out with Threads is impactful. In terms of search on Google, what the user experience is like, we have something coming up about to change. It's called generative search. So everybody by now is familiar with what the impact AI is already having and going to continue having. Also speculative, but I'm very curious, because we've already seen what the next generation of search is going to look like with generative search. But I think that's fascinating to speculate on what you're saying. What will they integrate in terms of video, audio? For a while there, people thought voice search was going to be the next big thing, and I don't know that it really materialized that way.
Yeah, I remember that too. The Hey Google, and then it would, I think we were having a conversation recently with someone where it would learn the dialect, like you had a specific way of saying a word, like people from different parts of the country. And I know that Siri did that. We actually did that as an experiment once. One of our team members had Siri on to actively listen. And so it was on his desk, and he's from, he's more like of a country, deeper tone.
And it trained over time.
Yeah, it trained, and it would recognize him saying it. But Michaela's from, the Northeast. And of course, I'm from the same area that you left. And it's like, it wouldn't recognize us saying the same word. Mm-hmm. And I think that maybe Google saw that in voice search and was like, "Nah, that's a lot of work.
Much.
Yeah, it's too much. We're not doing this."
Yeah.
And that's just in America.
Well, we talked about these QRG. I had to look at the notes to remind myself what the hell the acronym is there. But we talked about that. And what was interesting as I was preparing to speak with you all was logically, they have, you know, 10, 15,000 people working with these guidelines, but they're spread out across the whole globe because it's so subjective. What kind of content locally is like harmful or helpful, right?
Right.
But it's not quite the same with like Audible and those things, but, you know, culturally as well.
Yeah, no, you're free to dive into where you want to go. I mean, it's because the content is like, it obviously has to be strategic. It has to be sensitive to the area that you're in, the market. It goes back to that old thing we've always said that people kind of use as a buzzword, you know your audience. You know, you can't write or talk to people that really just don't relate to what you're saying, because they're just, that's just not the way it works. You know, it's not how life is, you know, so you have to be very sensitive to that. And there's a lot of work that goes into that. Folks like you put the work in on that. I want to ask you before we go, like, obviously professionally, I think we got an idea of what we know what you nerd out on professionally. You're very knowledgeable about all of this stuff. But pop culture, like, what is your nerd? Like, believe it or not, I've run into somebody just a couple weeks ago that does LARPing, you know, live action role play. That was a fascinating conversation, by the way. So how far?
That must have been. I've never met anyone who's that deep into it, actually, which would be really cool.
I was at a park and I looked over and there was a bunch of them doing it. And I was like, that's here? It's made it this far? Not that I'm going to do it. But it was in a streaming, the Hawkeye series on Disney Plus. The actual character Hawkeye came across a LARPing group and got involved with it. It was kind of a funny scene.
Cool.
Yeah. But I want to know, how far down the rabbit hole of nerddom do you go? Do you go that far, or are you just kind of like, I'm good with comics and that's it?
Yeah, no, great question. Well, I am back to playing a game for the first time in 15 years-ish. I pretty much lived on a computer until about 20, and then I stopped and emerged into this physical realm. So back in the day, I was playing the earlier MMORPGs. There was one called EverQuest that I like literally clocked at over a year of real time on. So I put a lot of my life in it, and now I just play very casually these 20-30 minute strategy games. A very old game called Warcraft with some high school friends when we can. Once, you know, we're at this phase where we got kids and don't live in the same area anymore, but it's a cool way to hang out virtually for a little bit on Discord and play something. There is something I nerd out about, which is pretty mainstream, but it's like a new level of knowledge. As a kid, I watched football, and then I didn't for a long time. And now I'm excited. Just this week, there was this show called Quarterback that came out, because I took for granted. I always thought these guys are just physical, right? But they are also nerds in their own right. Like, it's a super technical thing that these guys are doing, like their body posture and the way they eat and like train, and like they get really down to the details, the ones at the high level, right? I'm not saying everyone, that's the same in every sector, right? But so that's, I'm excited to watch that one just to like, it's a little fanboying, but like, it's just like, how do they do what they do? And like, what's the way that they achieve progress? And they study a lot. They really work on their craft a lot. So
strategy is like really becoming more recognizable by the audience mainstream now, how important it is. And it's just sitting and thinking through something before you just jump and do it. And I think that's why nerd culture is now the culture of the day, is because that's what we do. We take abstract ideas and we think about them and what's the best way. And there's usually more than one way, but that strategy, that's the beginning of like developing a strategy. You know, and I think that whether if it's SEO or branding or whatever it is that you're doing, I mean, trying to get everybody to like, okay, you do this without thinking about it. But when you get into your profession, the professional nerd side, you start to, like, for whatever reason, disconnect that you're kind of doing the same thing. You're just doing it to make money, not for fun. And I think sometimes that's forgotten. And if you can keep the idea of doing it for fun, even though you're doing it professionally, I find that, for me personally, I find that that helps make that still keeps food on the table, but, you know, I'm not anxious and stressed at the end of the day.
Yo, you obviously have fun. I mean, we've only met a couple times now, but you're laughing most of the time and smiling, which is like, I could learn from that, right? Injecting fun into your work, there's nothing wrong with that.
I'll be honest with you. When I was a young man, I was not this way. I was just a ball of knots of stress and things and just worried about stuff I can't control. And now as I've gotten older, it's like, well, you know, that happened. Hey, everybody, did you see this latest thing? Oh, you know, because there's so much out there.
Well, it's funny that you said that because, like, I feel like I've been going through similar times. But what really gets me back on a right path of positivity is just enjoying the work that I do, enjoying the people that I'm around, enjoying the hobbies that I partake in. And just, I read something recently, like, let July be July, let August be August, and everything will just not solve itself, of course, but you'll get there. And you need those little reminders sometimes. So I can reflect on your former self a little bit.
Well, I appreciate, Greg, you pointing that out. You're not the first one to do that. Jason Bernard did too. When I was chatting with him, he's the branded search guy. I want to thank you for coming on the show, and I want to give you some time to tell the people where they can find you. Tell the people, like, in your words, like, anything we missed that what you do and what you want to do. So you have the floor, sir, as we close out.
No, thank you both so much for having me on. This was really fun. Just kind of reflects what we just talked about, right? Like, this is more fun I've had on a podcast in a while. And I was really excited when I saw your brand name as Nerd Brand. I was like, man, this is going to be fun. So thank you for having me on. I really appreciate it. I co-founded a company called Jolly SEO. You can find us jollyseo.com. And as you guys kindly pointed out, I also do some coaching. Have a self-consumable, like, 1-hour course on the kind of stuff that I did. And it's something anybody who enjoys reading and writing can do. You can start, it seems like this opaque thing, but really any of the three of us on this call could do just as well at pitching to journalists your expertise and getting picked up in pretty much any level of publication. It's not something that just the PR pros can do. So I really appreciate you all letting me talk, and I learned a couple of things on here, which is great. And thank you so much for your time.
Yeah. Well, we thank you for coming on and being our guest. And I mean, come on, man. Even though you like the name Nerd Brand, when I saw Jolly SEO, I was like, I'm going to meet a guy that's wearing a, you know, pirate outfit or somebody that's going to be fun. I have
to. All right. Sorry to disappoint then, everyone. Don't watch the video version.
Doesn't matter. It's like, that's a fun name too. There's some relatability.
We used to lean into it. We had the skeleton guy on our logo and everything. Now we've matured. So we'll have to get back to our roots sometime, I think.
You know, you just a little, Mitch is really good at this, but, you know, just a little bit of, like you said earlier, we lean into it. You know, you don't go like fully into it, to quote, I guess, Tropical Thunder, but I won't use the words that he used.
Oh my God.
But we did grow up in a good way too. We took the pots of gold off of our website and all of that stuff. So
Yeah. I think the copy tone and everything, because you guys are, it's there. People spend some time on it. But again, to all the listeners out there, that's where you can go check Greg out at Jolly SEO. You can also check out this podcast, and we are done. So I thank you for being here with us.
Oops. Did you know everything is an ad?
What do you mean?
All expressions related to a brand are an ad.
You just blew my mind.
Yeah, don't let overthought advertising strategies get you down. Just have your why and a budget and leave the rest to the nerds. To chime in on all the latest branding and advertising pointers, listen to the Nerd Brand Podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and more.